Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all here. Had a little problem with my printer on the way this morning, so I have to resort to the old laptop today, so I hope you don't mind. Well, there's an interesting passage in 1 Chronicles. It contains the words of King David as he's speaking to his son Solomon. He's encouraging his son to build the temple. I thought it might be interesting to look at these words of fatherly advice from David, a man after God's own heart, and see how they might apply to each and every one of us here today. Because we know, if we look at 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" We know that we are to be a temple. So let's look at these words that King David lovingly shared with his son, encouraging him to build that temple, and see how we can apply them to us today. This is important because I believe we all want our lives to be a temple that God chooses to dwell in. The scripture I'd like to focus on is 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. Let's turn there. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. Here it says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the imaginations of your thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." As we can see here, David knew how to pack quite a lot into just a few short words here. So let's look at this, let's break it out a bit and see really what we can glean from it. So the first bit of advice that David gives his son is know the God of your father. So the first thing we need to do in order to properly build our temple is to know God. How do we do this? Let's turn over to 1 John 2 and verse 3. 1 John 2 and verse 3. Here it says, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." So as we can see here, in order for us to know God, we have to keep his commandments. If we're going to keep his commandments, then we need to know about them. And beyond that knowledge, we have to have understanding of it. We need to believe it. To do this, we have to read his word and be in constant contact with it, with him. We have to have a real, deep, personal relationship with him. I don't think we want to be a liar without the truth in us. If we are, I really don't think God is going to want to take up the residence with us. So we need to make sure that we are well acquainted with him and not neglecting that relationship. It's interesting as we go back to 1 Chronicles here, if you look at this scripture, 1 Chronicles 28:9, and the Amplified Bible, it kind of brings a little bit more meaning to this idea of knowing the God of your father. It says, "And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father," and then this is where it amplifies, "have personal knowledge of him, be acquainted with and understand him, appreciate, heed, and cherish him." I mean, that's a pretty in-depth description right there. To have personal knowledge of him, be acquainted, understand him, appreciate, heed, and cherish him. I think if we can do all these things and we are keeping his commandments, as it said in 1 John, we will definitely be able to say that we know God. Continuing on in 1 Chronicles, the thought continues and it says, "And serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." It says, perfect heart. There's other translations that say a loyal heart. It says we're supposed to serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. The first thing we have to do here is to serve him. Now, to do that, we need to have an attitude of a servant, which is one of humility. So we need to have an attitude of humble service, but we also need to have a loyal heart. Heart needs to be loyal to God and his commandments. It needs to be steadfast. It needs to be faithful. We know we have a lot of distraction and various things that are all fighting for our attention, all fighting for our heart. You know, we need to make sure that we are guarding it and that we are staying loyal to God. In other translations, they say blameless heart, perfect heart, wholehearted devotion. You know, to have a truly loyal, a truly perfect heart, you have to be invested completely. There's no halfway with this. The scripture doesn't stop here, though. It's like we have to keep on going. It just keeps on building. Adds to this loyal heart something else. It says, a willing mind. What is a willing mind? Is it a mind that's constantly seeking your own personal will? I mean, if it is, I know I could probably say I'm doing a pretty good job of that sometimes. But I'm not really, I don't think that's really what he's talking about. I think what he's talking about here is probably more along the lines of looking to God and having his will be done and being willing to step out of the way and let him work in your life personally. When I think of this way, one of the examples I can think of a person that had a very willing mind is that of Abraham. You can read the account of him going to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, in Genesis 22. We don't have time to go through the whole account, so I'll just reference it. But I think you all are pretty much aware of the story. Do you think he was really seeking his own personal will when he had to put his son on the altar? Where was his heart? He was serving God with his whole heart. He wasn't withholding anything from him, not even his own son. I'm sure he had plenty of opportunity to get in the way. I'm sure he could have done many things, but he didn't. He looked to God and he let him work out his will. He had that willing heart, and God blessed him for that. He didn't end up sacrificing his son, and he received an incredible blessing because of it. In verse 18 of Genesis 22, it says, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Abraham obeyed God's voice because he knew God, and he was humbly serving him wholeheartedly with a loyal heart and a willing mind. So continuing on with 1 Chronicles 28, we get to the next part of the scripture. It says, "For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of your thoughts," or all the imaginations of your thoughts, basically everything that's going on in your head. Now, this is kind of expounds more upon the reference of having a loyal heart and a willing mind. The Lord searches our hearts and minds. How do you think he does this? How do you think he searches our hearts and minds? My guess is probably through tests and trials. He really wants to know where our heart really is. He wants to know if we really have that loyal heart and that willing mind. You know, the example we just talked about with Abraham, that was definitely a test. I mean, I'm sure being asked to sacrifice your only son is, I can't even begin to imagine what that might be, but that would be a tremendous test. It also says, though, that the Lord understands all the intent of your thoughts. I don't know about you, but I don't even come close to understanding all the intent of my thoughts half the time. So, I mean, that could be comforting in a way, but then I also do understand the intent of my thoughts sometimes, and oftentimes that might not be a good thing. It might be incriminating, and it's just that's not good. So we need to be aware of that. God knows the intent of our thoughts, and we need to be aware of that, because the idea of thought is very huge. Our thoughts create our reality. Over in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so he is." You know, so these thoughts, they translate into action. We need to be aware of our thoughts and make sure that they are where they need to be. You know, if we, where does God want his thought, want our thoughts to be? Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians verse 10. 2 Corinthians 10, and we'll look at verse 5 and 6 here. Second Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, Now, that kind of sounds very similar to what we were talking about before, about your will versus God's will. So casting those things that are against the knowledge of God, casting those down and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience, until your obedience is fulfilled. So you can see we're supposed to bring all our thoughts into captivity. We're supposed to be aware of them. You know, it's very important, this idea of thought. Now, returning back to 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9, we get the next portion of the scripture, which basically gives us two paths that we're presented with, that we get to choose from. Not only do we have these two options, as a loving father, he also gives us a bit of advice and lets us know a bit what the outcome of these paths may be. It says, "If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Now, given these two options, these two outcomes, I personally prefer the first. Being on, cast off forever by the almighty, powerful God is not necessarily a road that I would really like to be on, which makes our choice a little bit simpler. You know, and this is obviously what David wanted. He wanted his son to choose the right path, just as God wants us to choose that right path. So it really only leaves one option, to seek him. And it is encouraging to know the outcome here, that if we seek him, he will be found. We could turn to James 4, chapter 8, which is scripture that I'm sure most of you know, that says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. It's essentially saying the same thing. But how do we seek him? How do we draw near to him? I think everything else we have really read in this scripture it all contributes to this seeking him, how we seek him. But I'd like to read this, what it says in the Amplified version, because I think it brings new light to this idea of seeking. It's more than just looking. It says, "If you seek him, inquiring for and of him, requiting or returning him as your first and vital necessity, you will find him." I think that brings a little bit more meaning and responsibility to it than simply seeking him. It's more than that, just looking. It's inquiring for him, looking for him, returning him as your first and vital necessity. That's pretty deep. That's a lot of looking. Has to be very important in your life for that. So as we've gone through the scripture, we can see that this is a very tall order that we are getting told to do. We're told to know God, to know his commandments, have a deep personal relationship with him, to serve him humbly, with a loyal heart, with a willing mind that is seeking his will. Because he knows our thoughts, we need to make sure that they're where they need to be. And finally, we're told to seek God as if he is our first and only vital necessity. I would say that's a lot. But, this is where the passage gets really, really exciting. Because if we do this, we find him. And I think that's great. That's really good. If we do that, we find him. But where we find him is even more exciting. So let's continue. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 10, it says, "Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." It says, take heed now. After all of this advice I just gave you, after this really tall order that we have to live up to, I want you to stop. I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say here, because this is important. Listen, this is the why. This is why we must do everything that we just spoke about, why we have to go through. Because the Lord has chosen you. Put your name in there. The Lord has chosen you. He has chosen you to build a house for his sanctuary. This is an awesome responsibility and honor. To have the God take a residence in the temple that we build in us. Do we fully grasp what this means? This is incredible. God is choosing us. In fact, he already has made his decision. He wants to live in us. He wants to live in you. He deserves and requires a very strong house. We don't want our life, our temple, to merely be a measly little house that is built on sticks that will be blown away in the slightest breeze. We want it to be one that is strong, built on a solid foundation, one that can weather any storm. That's what he deserves. That is why we must do everything that is stated in verse 9. We know this path can be hard, but the scripture ends on a very, very positive note. It says, to be strong, to do it. It's like you're getting this spiritual pep talk, you know, and saying like, you can do this, be strong, do it, go out, do it, go build the temple, are you ready? You know, it's like, can you feel that? It's like he's being very encouraging right here. Let's drop down a little bit further in 1 Chronicles 28 and go down to verse 20 here, because this encouraging, it just continues. It says, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, our God, this is the God that we are here to worship today, he will be with you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Brethren, the work for the service of the house of our Lord, that is our life. Now is our time. We need to build our temple. We have to know God. We need to know his commandments, have a personal, deep relationship with him. We need to serve him humbly with a loyal heart, a willing mind that is constantly seeking his will. We need to be aware of our thoughts, that they are pure and that they are brought into captivity. We need to be strong, we need to have courage, and we need to seek God with all of our heart as if he is our first and vital necessity. If we do this, we will find God. He will be in us. He has chosen to live in us, in your temple. So brethren, in the words of King David, be strong, do it.